that stopped me cold, Doctor, when you said you talked to witnesses who saw windows and beings behind the windows. Was there any description of them? I mean, how much detail was there?
Well, they weren't quite low enough to determine what kind of beings, but they were at least humanoid from the descriptions that we got.
Wow.
But let me back up rise above, so to say, and look at the bigger picture that began to emerge. I believe if you look at all the data we've collected, and believe me, there's still a whole lot more yet to be discovered, probably thousands of people that have information that haven't stepped forward or reported in any other way. Mm-hmm. This appeared to be a very purposeful, even elegant operation that was twofold. It was clearly a demonstration of sorts to the government through the military of a technology that's so far beyond anything we're capable, and I include anything the black operation, so to say, or Groom Lake or anywhere else under human operation. So it was not had nothing to do with any kind of military opposition or that sort of thing at all.
Would you agree with that, Peter, that what we had in Phoenix was a demonstration? That's an interesting word.
Yeah. I have considered that in years past. It's clear to me that the objects that went over Phoenix were not of man's manufacture. I feel very comfortable in going that far. Mm-hmm. Whether it was a purposeful demonstration or not, in order to answer that, having been born in Missouri, I'd want to talk to the occupants of those craft. Fortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to do that.
Uh-huh. Well,
let me cite some examples here.
Please.
And let me, before I go on, the other aspect of the twofold purpose was this was also simultaneously a sort of parade for the citizens. But the demonstration aspect began to be very clear to me as we saw the number of instances of jets coming out of Luke Air Force Base primarily to intercept these craft.
Uh-huh.
First off, we look at the orbs that came into the state from the direction of Henderson, and as Peter began to get reports from Kingman and Paulden just moving down the state, we have a formation of orbs that were described by Prescott witnesses like giant fireflies. They had an organic aspect to them. They were blue-white as they entered that area. As they left the Prescott area, they changed to a shade of yellow. By the time they got to the edge of Phoenix, they were amber, and they were, in fact, videotaped going across the valley at some distance by a retired military Air Force man who said they were like nothing he'd ever seen before.
All right, may I just interrupt briefly to ask Peter, can you confirm that chase aircraft were sent up? Because I'm wondering why the military would send chase planes up after their own flares.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting aspect of all of this?
And well, yeah.
I've, on Coast to Coast in years past, Art played that tape of my conversation with the U.S. Air Force airman who called the National UFO Reporting Center about 8 hours after the Phoenix Lights event began. And it's clear that the Air Force was thrown into a tizzy over all of this.
Over their own flares.
Over their... Yeah, they knew that whatever it was that was happening was not of their making.
Uh-huh.
And it was foreign to their operation.
Uh-huh.
Well,
all right.
As we proceed, the orbs went to, by the time they were halfway between Phoenix and Tucson, they changed to a shade of red, and just short of Tucson, they split off and went in different directions. Meanwhile, and I believe from the information so far that the F-15s that Peter refers to as the ground crewmen talked about probably intercepted or attempted to intercept the orb formation. There are several sets of witnesses that emerged to back up a neighbor to the Luke Air Force Base that said there were 6 to 8 sorties or flights of jets that went out on that date, on that night primarily. We have Bill Greiner, the truck driver, who emerged early on, who paced a pair of orbs that as they drew closer to Luke Air Force Base and then hovered, one of them virtually over the base was like a hot air balloon in shape without the basket, as he described it, and his two jets, then a third one coming behind it, did a steep bank and arc directly toward this object. It shot straight up and disappeared. Another set of witnesses described a giant triangle that hovered over the Deer Valley Airport area, which is North Phoenix, and they witnessed two jets coming from the direction of Luke attempting to intercept this craft, and instead of disappearing or moving as the others did, it held its ground, and the jets had to veer away to avoid a collision.
Oh, my God. Peter, is there any way of trailing a paperwork? I mean, when they start scrambling planes like that, it's costly. There ought to be a Freedom of Information Act request or something that could confirm they scrambled.
Well, I think Michael is probably the one to answer that. He was much closer to the investigation. It is clear to me that he knows much more about the specifics.
All right, Michael.
Of what's going on that night?
Well, in the word of one officer that spoke obviously off the record, he said that was the worst night of his military life. He said it was sheer pandemonium at Luke Air Force Base. And with the events that actually started for the military about 5:30 in the afternoon, and later that night, two other sets of witnesses saw craft being intercepted by jets. Not only do we have these witnesses confirming the military action, we have also over Crown King in the mountains just north of Phoenix a demonstration of what appears to be some kind of interdimensional capability.
Is there any indication we fired on these craft?
No. By all accounts, it was as if there was a war games going on with no shots fired. It was as if there was cooperation on both sides, but if we can believe the ground crewmen, there certainly was not cooperation so much from the military side as that they were just withheld from really doing anything. There was no reason to fire, but only to intercept and investigate. But as the Crown King event was affirmed by an early event over Lake Mead in the, earlier in that day and 2 weeks later near the Kennedy Airport, these craft went into a really strange routine of rolling and tumbling and going into a ball and disappearing after over Crown King, three of these giant Carpenter squares to describe, to give the description. One witness in central Phoenix of the shape of these craft. A fourth object appeared next to them as they were hovering, as first a bright amber light that morphed, if you will, into a triangle or a square.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses couldn't quite tell if they're three corners or four. But as the four objects were observed, then going into vertical formation, they begin to compress upon each other, rolling into a ball, as they describe. Disappeared within a second or two. Two jets were seen coming from the south to apparently try to intercept something that was not there any longer. The Lake Mead event involved eight of these objects in formation that went into a similar routine when apparently a commercial airliner got close enough to prompt it. And the Kennedy Airport area incident involved two craft that merged and became one, which speaks to witnesses describing the Phoenix Lights event and area of a triangle going away in the direction of Tucson, splitting into two craft. And then we have halfway between Phoenix and Tucson at an area called Picacho Peak, two craft coming together as if there were 747s about to collide, and they merge and become one.